Welcome to installment 143 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments. Positive commandment 82, continuing the discussion of the firstborn donkey, in this case, the commandment to break its neck if one does not redeem it, and beginning the discussion of Shemitah, positive commandment 135, the commandment to allow the land to rest, prohibition 220, not to work the land, prohibition 221, not to cultivate a tree, and prohibition 222, not to harvest wild-growing produce. Positive commandment 82 is connected with yesterday's commandment regarding the redemption of the firstborn donkey. We discussed yesterday that the firstborn donkey was singled out from all of the non-kosher animals, that it alone must be redeemed. A lamb must be given in its stead to the Kohen, and only then may the donkey be used by its owner. This law of redemption is a positive commandment, number 81, as we discussed yesterday. Commandment number 82 is in the case that a person refuses to redeem this donkey. If he does not redeem it, the Torah requires him to kill the donkey by breaking its neck, by chopping its head from the back of the neck with a cleaver. This act is known as arifa, and the Torah states, "Ve'im lo sifde va'arafte," in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 20, that if one does not redeem the donkey, one must chop its neck, va'arafte. This chopping, this cutting of the donkey's neck and its destruction of the donkey is a positive commandment, as the Rambam mentions. The Rambam anticipates an obvious question and asks on himself, why did he count this commandment as a separate commandment from the redemption? There are many laws in the Torah which have a large number of details, and it would seem that the main law here is the law of redeeming the firstborn donkey. And a detail of that law is that if one does not wish to redeem it, one must break its neck. This the Rambam himself explained in his introductory principles. In the seventh principle of how to count the commandments, he says that details of a commandment do not count as separate commandments. Why then does he count this law of breaking the neck as a separate commandment? The Rambam answers that really, according to his explanation, truly it should not count as a separate commandment. But the Rambam says that the expression that the Talmud uses in the Tractate Bechereis indicates that it counts as a separate commandment. And since the Rambam, of course, would not disagree with the saying of the sages of the Talmud, and even more so, when they don't even explicitly say something, but their choice of words implies that they hold a certain way, the Rambam will not disagree with it. In this case, the Talmud compares the law of breaking the animal's neck with the law of redeeming it. And the Talmud says that the preferred procedure is to redeem the animal. That is better than varafte, than breaking its neck. This the Talmud compares with the law of levirate marriage, that the preferable thing to do is yibum, that a brother of a dead man should marry the sister-in-law of his deceased brother. This is called yibum. If he does not do that, he must do chalitza. There must be a ceremony performed in which the sister-in-law removes a shoe from the foot of her brother-in-law and therefore becomes separated from him and permitted to marry another man. In any case, the Talmud teaches that yibum comes before chalitza. It is preferable that he marries the sister-in-law rather than give her this levirate divorce of chalitza. So too, it is preferable that a person redeems the firstborn donkey rather than chopping its neck. The Rambam says that we see from this discussion in the Talmud that the two laws are compared with each other. And just as we count the law of Yibum and Chalitza as two separate mitzvahs, it is one commandment to marry the sister-in-law and another separate commandment to give her Chalitza, to separate himself from her by the Chalitza ceremony. So to here, the Talmud clearly indicates that we count as two separate mitzvahs. The law of chopping the animal's neck is a separate mitzvah from redeeming the animal. Why is it done in such a cruel manner, breaking the animal's neck from the back? Our sages tell us that the person has himself done a cruel act and has displayed his cruelty towards the Kohen.
He himself will not be able to use this donkey. It is forbidden for him to have any benefit from the donkey. What could he do? He could give something to the Kohen and thereby use the donkey and thereby incur no loss. If he does not redeem the animal, he will lose it himself. Nevertheless, he chooses to himself lose the use of this donkey as long as the Kohen himself will not gain any use. This open cruelty and open display of hatred is an act which he symbolizes himself by killing the animal in a cruel way. In addition, our sages say that the donkey was singled out from all of the other animals since it indicates the nation of Egypt. Even more so, the Zohar tells us that the donkey symbolizes the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And therefore, we must deal with the Yetzer Hara, just as we deal with this donkey, in a clear and unambiguous fashion, by killing it quickly, swiftly, without having mercy. With this, we begin the laws of Shemitah of the sabbatical year. Positive Commandment 135, the Rambam tells us, is a positive commandment to rest from working the land in the sabbatical year. As we know, in the Jewish law, there is not only a Sabbath day. The seventh of all the days is a holy day. So too, the seventh of all the years is a holy year, a year called Shabbos. And the Rambam says many verses speak about this law. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 21, it is stated, "Bechodesh v'kotzer tishbeis," that you must rest from plowing and from reaping. Furthermore, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, it states in verse 2, "Beshav sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem," that the land must be given a rest period, a Sabbath to God. And in verse 4 in the same chapter, "Shabbos Shabbosin yiyeh la'aretz," that for the land there should be a Sabbath of all Sabbaths. This Shemitah year, the seventh year, is considered to be a rest period for the land. The Torah also prohibits us from working the land. This same verse 4 states, "Sod cholisizra v'charma cholisizmer," that one must not plant the field and one may not prune the vineyard. These are two separate prohibitions. Prohibition 220 is working the land, and this is learned from the verse which states one must not plant the field. Prohibition 221 is learned from the part of the verse that says do not prune the vineyard, which applies to working the trees and doing anything to improve the growth of trees. Therefore, anything involving things which grow in a field are prohibited under Prohibition 220, and anything relating to what grows on trees is under Prohibition 221. In addition to these prohibitions, however, there is a positive commandment of rest. Just as on the Sabbath day there is a prohibition of work and a positive commandment to rest, so too in the sabbatical year. The Rambam notes that the two prohibitions of planting a field and pruning a vineyard both really serve the same purpose. They should be included in the same category, because both of them contribute to the growth of the produce. Why then are they singled out and given two separate prohibitions and discussed in two different expressions in the Torah? The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which answers that they are to teach us that any categories of work involving either a field or a tree are prohibited. The idea of planting the field includes within it any other activities necessary for the upkeep and agricultural output of a field, and pruning the vineyard relates to all the necessary kinds of work needed for the tree to produce its fruit. Therefore, both these categories are prohibited. The details of these laws are discussed in Tractate Shviz, and they are only relevant in the land of Israel. Violation of these laws, as is the case with most other biblical prohibitions, the punishment for them is malchus, lashes. There are several other prohibitions associated with the sabbatical year. The one which concludes today's portion is Prohibition 222, the idea of harvesting the tzvichim, wild crops which grow during the sabbatical year. This commandment derives again from the book of Leviticus chapter 25, this time verse 5, which states, "Esfiach ketzircha le'isikzer," do not harvest the wild growing crops. The Rambam points out that this prohibition is not that we are prohibited to eat anything which grows during the sabbatical year. Because verse 6 says explicitly, V'hoyis ha-Shabbos ha-aretz lochem la'achla, that what grows in the sabbatical year may be eaten by you. After all, people are not expected to starve in this Shemitah year. They can eat what grows. The prohibition is not on eating these wild crops. The prohibition is on actively cultivating them and harvesting them in the manner in which one normally harvests cultivated crops. Therefore, the Rambam says we are allowed to collect these crops bli achano v'leis kainus. We can take them if it's not in a prepared manner and a deliberate manner. Such as he explains in his legal code, one may not harvest an entire field at once and thresh a large amount of grain at once. One must do only a little bit at a time, collect a little bit as is needed for that time period and thresh it and use it, and then go back another time when it's needed and take an additional bit. If one harvests the entire field at once, he is violating a biblical prohibition. But by biblical command, one is allowed to take a small amount. In Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam stops here. But in his legal code, where Rambam describes in detail all of the necessary laws, he adds that by rabbinic law, one is forbidden from taking these wild crops even in the way he described in Sefer HaMitzvot. Even just to take a little bit at a time is prohibited by rabbinic command. One could avoid the biblical commandment by taking just a little bit. But by rabbinic law, one is prohibited even from taking that little bit. If so, the Rambam asks, what is left to eat? If one cannot even take a little bit at a time, does one have to starve during the sabbatical year? The Rambam answers that there are two categories of food which one is allowed to eat. One of them is fruit which grows on trees, that the rabbinic prohibition not to eat from even the wild-growing crops only applies to crops from the field, but not the produce of a tree. In addition, the Rambam says, the only produce which grows in a field which is prohibited are things which are normally grown, such as different sorts of beans and different sorts of wheat and grain. However, there are many things which are not normally cultivated in large amounts, and these sorts of foods may be eaten wildly, that our sages only made a decree against things which are normally cultivated in large amounts by people. However, things which are not normally cultivated as cash crops, these things may be eaten. But again, only when they grow wildly. One who eats produce which even grows wildly, if it's something which is normally cultivated, such as grain, gets makas mardus, or lashes, by rabbinic decree. The Shemitah year is, as we mentioned, similar to the Sabbath itself. Just as the seventh day is a day of rest, a day in which we express our belief in God's creation of the world, so too the sabbatical year also expresses our faith and trust in God. However, in a way, it's even deeper, that in the sabbatical year, one does not harvest for the entire year. He is placing his entire physical being on God. He has to completely trust in God's promise that in the sixth year of the seven-year cycle, God will cause the land to produce even more food to suffice for the entire seventh year. Therefore, a person is showing his utter dependence on God, and therefore has to activate his innermost will and his innermost belief and pure faith in God for that seventh year. Hasidic philosophy mentions that in one way Shabbos, the Sabbath day, is a deeper observance than the Sabbath year. In the Sabbath year, one is only prohibited from cultivating, but other sorts of activities are allowed, whereas in the Sabbath day, all forms of work are prohibited. Chassidus explains, however, that there is still an advantage of Shviz, of the Shemitah year, that the Sabbath is sanctified only when a person is removed from his activities in the world, that he is in a more spiritual level. In the sabbatical year, however, the holiness penetrates even a time period when he is allowed to work, since the only thing which is prohibited is working the land and making profit off the land. However, in the sabbatical year, a person is still working. It's still in a weekday state, so to speak. And in that weekday state, a person is bringing holiness down into the physical world, into his physical actions, and sanctifying them.
Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvot. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments to celebrate a simcha or other occasions such as birthday...